I've really enjoyed actually these messages on Gideon. It's really blessed my heart. If you're a preacher, you always get blessed more by doing the study so that you can present it. I always do get blessed very much. This is going to be about the trial of Gideon's trust, because he's beginning to trust in the Lord, but he was still asking for signs and that kind of thing. And so just to rehash, Gideon is weak. He's called to be a mighty warrior and fight the Midianites. And so this whole story of Gideon's story, it sets human weakness against warfare, a call to warfare. And God called Gideon to fight against pagan soldiers. But what about us? Well, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So our calling is to spiritual warfare. And Gideon wanted assurances of his faith. We've seen that. And God, he gives them. God gives us assurances of his faith many times. He answers our prayers. He shows us miracles once in a while. But God was now going to test the quality of Gideon's faith, the quality of Gideon's trust. And he does that with us, too, sometimes. Why does he do that? And I think it's because of what I'm going to say, this one sentence that I always repeat throughout a sermon that helps us to get the idea. And that is, in spiritual warfare, our stance must be one of complete trust in God. You cannot have a doubting time in spiritual warfare. You have to have complete trust in God. And so God gives all these signs to Gideon, and it puts Gideon in a place of owing God trust. Well, now God is going to serve notice on Gideon's debt to trust. And so in verse 2 and 3, God removes Gideon's false trusts. In verse 2 and 3, the Lord, this is chapter 7, the Lord said to Gideon, you have too many men for me to deliver Midian into your hands. In order that Israel may not boast against me that her own strength has saved her, announce now to the people, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead. So 22,000 men left, while 10,000 men remained. So, you know, 32,000 is what they had. And Gideon had rallied those men, and it sort of gave him probably a boost of confidence. But losing the 22,000, two-thirds of what he had gathered together, that might have made him think, oh boy, if all those who fear and tremble are able to go home, I should join them, except I'm in charge. I can't do it. I can't join them. So anyway, so this was actually 10,000 against what we later learn in the passage, or in the next couple of chapters, 135,000, 135,000 troops against 10,000. But numbers aren't the issue. That's not the issue. And sometimes we think numbers, oh, we got a lot of numbers together. Well, that's not necessarily the issue. Here's what it says in Deuteronomy. This is what they were told about warfare. In Deuteronomy 20, verse 1, when you go to war against your enemies and see horses and chariots and an army greater than yours, do not be afraid of them, because the Lord your God, who brought you up out of Egypt, will be with you. That's the thing that he promised at the very beginning. I will be with you. This is how you're going to do the warfare. I will be with you. So fear shouldn't have a place, although it does, you know. But years ago, I remember that the church was declining, and they wanted to see. This was not just one denomination. Many denominations were doing this. They were putting out books on church growth, and the church growth movement really, a lot of times it looked at culturally adapting to the felt needs of the people. Well, that was a fad that flopped. That was a false trust. If we adapt our message to meet the felt needs of the people, we're going to have church growth. It didn't work. Culture-based felt needs aren't the real needs of people. God has already diagnosed the real needs of people, and it says that they need their souls healed. And he knows how to do it. In Psalm 107, verse 20, it says, he sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. God removes our false trusts before he gives us spiritual victory. He does not want us to think our false trust is what won the victory. And we can pat ourselves on, oh, see, we did that, you know, and pat ourselves on the back. No. He does not want us to a false trust to get the glory. He wants to get the glory because he is the one that gave the victory. So he wants to gain more than just glory in that victory. And he gains it not by us trusting in great odds. He wants to give us victory when the odds are not in our favor. And so God removed Gideon's odds of the success. In verse 4 through 8, but the Lord said to Gideon, there are still too many men. Take them down to the water, and I will sift them there for you. If I say, this one shall go with you, he shall go. But if I say, this one shall not go with you, he shall not go. So Gideon took the men down to the water. There the Lord told him, separate those who lap the water with their tongues like a dog from those who kneel down to drink. 300 men lapped with their hands to their mouths. All the rest got down on their knees to drink. The Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the other men go, each to his own place. So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites to their tents, but kept the 300 who took over the provisions and the trumpets of the Lord and the trumpets of the other. Took over the provisions and the trumpets of the others. In other words, they took over their supplies that had left. Now the camp of Midian lay below in the valley. So this was an extreme troop reduction, that left Gideon without any reliance on either numbers or on favorable odds. There were no favorable odds. 300 against 135,000. There's no odds there. So, why did God do this? Why did God get down such a small number, taking away the odds, taking away the numbers? There is no favorable odds here. So why did God do that? In spiritual warfare, our trust cannot be in the odds or in the numbers. It has to be complete trust in the Lord. It has to be complete trust in the Lord as we fight against spiritual foe, as we fight against the things in our lives that try to take us down. So why did God pick those ones that it says that they lapped? He didn't want the ones that knelt down to drink. He wanted the ones that picked up with their hands and drank drink from their hands. I lapped like a dog from their hands. And here's the thing that I think. Now, this is not necessarily the right thing, but I'm just thinking. This is really physiologically, here's the deal. If you kneel down on your knees, it takes a little bit of time to get up. And sometimes your head's down in the water, you can't see anything. But if you're squatting on your feet, you can easily stand up. You're still on your feet. You're just reaching down, scooping up some water, and you can still have visual awareness while you're drinking in case there's a surprise attack from the enemy. Well, this story is about spiritual warfare. And Ephesians 6:13, which we read from before, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. For spiritual warfare, we have to stand our ground, trusting in God's promises and following his directives. So the Lord, knowing our state of frailty, knowing our fear and doubt, he doesn't leave us in that state. And he removed Gideon's wavering trust. Let me read from 9 through 15. During that night, the Lord said to Gideon, "Get up, go down against the camp, because I am going to give it into your hands. If you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah, and listen to what they are saying. Afterward, you will be encouraged to attack the camp." So he and Purah, his servant, went down to the outposts of the camp. The Midianites, the Amalekites, and all the other eastern peoples had settled in the valley, thick as locusts. Their camels could no more be counted than the sand of the seashore. Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend his dream. "I had a dream," he was saying. "A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed." His friend responded, "This can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands." When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he worshiped God. He returned to the camp of Israel and called out, "Get up! The Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands." You know, God knows that we can be mighty warriors. He knows that we can be mighty warriors. Sometimes we don't think that. But he does. He knows that we can be mighty warriors. But he also knows, Psalm 103, verse 14. He also knows he knows our frame. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. So he told Gideon, "If you are afraid, I'll encourage you. I'll give you some encouragement." And we're freed from anxious fear. An anxious, fearful frame. He knows our frame. He knows our frame of mind. So he can deliver us, and we can be freed from an anxious, fearful frame of mind if we love God with complete trust. Because in 1 John chapter 4, it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear." Now, though he was afraid, Gideon bravely acted upon God's offer, and he did feel encouraged, but he also might have felt a little bit guilty for it taking a human dream, just a frail human dream and its interpretation, instead of just relying on God's promise to dispel his fear, you know. And I think sometimes we do that. I think yeah, we get encouraged by something happening around us rather than taking the word of God and being encouraged by it. Well, finally, this last sign did cause Gideon to his fearful heart to change. It increased his love for God because it says he worshiped him. And in the French, the word worship means adore or adorer, you know, adore. And that means to love supremely, to worship God, to love him supremely. And it also inspired a new faith confession that he gave to this tiny troop of 300. He said, get up, the Lord has given the Midianite camps into your hands. And it infused in him a courage that, that, you know, he was doubtful. He had been fearful, insecure. He had that no longer. He had courage. And he was now the mighty warrior that God had called him to be. So Gideon's story is our story. God wants us to have a love tie with him that casts out fear. A love bond with God that casts out fear, a worshiping bond. He wants us to have a faith relationship with him that brings us spiritual victory in spiritual warfare, because we are in spiritual warfare, and our stance must be one of trusting completely in him. Although we're slow in learning sometimes, learning how to worship lovingly, worship the Lord lovingly, or to trust him completely, he keeps working with us patiently and persistently until we become the mighty warriors that he says we are and that he calls us to be. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for these stories in Judges about Gideon, because we can relate so closely to them because we are in spiritual warfare. Every day we're in spiritual warfare. There are temptations that come to us, and we need to trust in your provision and trust that you are with us. So help us, Lord, to remember that in spiritual warfare, that our thing that we must do, it's just so vital that we have complete trust in you and in your word, the promises you've shared. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.